Well, hi, everybody. Welcome to the AU Radio Podcast. I'm Greg.
I'm Corey.
Ian.
Travis.
I'm Katie.
Katie, Travis, Ian,
mm-hmm.
And Corey.
As you address the empty chair.
Yeah, talk about mm-hmm that way.
Hey, good name. To have everybody back along. We're still undergoing the smoke on the water, I guess we could call that. We all came out to Tri-Cities.
Yeah, we were all along the Watchtower.
Yeah. Well, that one too.
I did that. I did it in the store yesterday. I was just playing songs that had to do with burning and fire all day just to see if anybody would notice.
Like, Crazy World of Arthur Brown. Fire.
There was We Didn't Start the Fire.
Thank you.
I read that. I listened to that one during my shift and I just started giggling. I'm like, Corey, dang it.
What else did I play? I had to go run an errand or something, and I left with Beds Are Burning by Midnight Oil. And Travis from the back as he's stuffing comic boxes. Midnight Oil.
Really? Yeah, those of you from elsewhere, not here in the Pacific Northwest, we're under smoke here from forest fires all over the place. I mean, it's massive forest fires.
They did
fires.
Save the Multnomah Falls Lodge, though.
I saw that.
The footage of that. It was pretty cool.
It looks like Silent Hill outside, so that's
hats off
cool.
to you guys. Oh, man. Save that.
Yeah. Absolutely. Thank yeah, you,
for
yes,
sure.
all the firefighters
Thank
out there.
Thank you.
Big time. One of my diver friends is a firefighter, and boy, I tell you what, big hats off. Big hats off.
Yeah, they're working overtime.
Yeah, I think overtime is not the right word for that.
Sure.
They are obviously not getting paid enough. So big week as far as the smoke. Not such a big week as far as news. I've got a bunch of little itty bitty.
I disagree.
Teeny tiny things.
What you got?
But Corey disagrees. So what was it you were going to bring up just a minute ago?
We said
let's wait until the podcast. So, go on, Trav.
So there's this new Kickstarter for a game. It's a card game. It's called a Consenticle.
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 Consent and tentacle.
It's a two-player game, and you're not supposed to.
So you're trying to have a romantic encounter with this
between a human and a tentacle alien.
Yeah.
I am so on board with this.
It's so cool.
I've got the article right here for you.
But so you throw
it's a Kickstarter?
Yeah. So you throw a card down and you like have a conversation and you go on a date and then you like start like it's not vulgar by any means, but it's very, like, suggestive. The art is the funniest thing I've ever seen because she has, like, lashes on and, like, a wig. The tentacle monster does.
What's the Red Dwarf episode where Crichton dates the Blob?
Oh, yeah.
It's like when Steve McQueen met the Blob, he tried to kill it. I don't think it occurred to him to ask it out on a date.
Maybe things had gone different. So
exactly.
This is a card game?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, it's not like Mousetrap where you get to build the tentacle monster as you're playing.
Oh.
No.
That's a whole different game.
Well, there's one for you. Yeah.
The caverns of your mind is a wondrous place, Ian.
You have no idea the depths that it goes.
And you know, my mind just immediately, I suppose it's because we watched it this last week, my mind immediately went to the remake of Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Watch the remake?
Well, we watched the remake, and you know, there were parts that I thought were just absolutely fantastic and parts that I thought, we need more Tim Curry.
Yes. Yes.
To be fair, Tim Curry put in a hell of a showing.
He did.
Yeah.
That.
Yes.
So my question is, it was ABC that did it, right?
I believe so.
Yes. So granted, a lot of the suggestiveness in Rocky Horror was very much implied. That being said, there were lots of that movie that were very much not implied as far as suggestiveness goes.
All of Meatloaf?
Exactly. ABC feel about that? They were like, no, it's fine. It's Rocky Horror. Let's just do that. Like, they just had no qualms about it, I guess.
There was a rug swept firmly under it.
You know, I kind of have to ask that question, too, because this, I'm sure it probably wasn't prime time, or maybe
it
was.
No, it absolutely was.
Yeah.
Oh, it was. It wasn't it like after prime time.
No, it was like 9 p.m.
Eee.
They did all kinds of advertising.
Was it an Easter special?
Welcome back, Jesus. Here's Laverne pretending to be Frank.
This is what we were up to.
It's just a step to the.
So just jump to the left.
Oh, lordy, lordy, lordy. So, Concentricals, yeah, we don't have it in store yet.
Nope, it's just...
Why not?
Because it's not in production. It's
I see, we're Kickstartering it.
I'm going to back it. That sounds awesome.
That looks so cool.
So, we probably should do an AU radio backing of Concentricals.
I don't think,
yeah.
I don't...
Yeah.
Concentricals?
Yeah. I don't know if I can condone this.
We'll show it to you after the podcast.
I want to see it first. we need to consent to Concentricals.
You just can't play, okay? You just can't play it.
A link
he
up to
needs
it.
To consent. Before
yeah, we
he...
can do that. We can post a link to it.
Consenticles? Yeah. Can you consenticle to it?
Can you consenticle to it?
How deep are we going to dig this hole? Speaking of, you know, digging holes in death, I watched the Death Note live action that Netflix produced.
Oh, yeah.
The Death Note anime,
mm-hmm. Yep.
Which I've actually never watched the Death Note anime. I've always kind of seen it and thought that's a little too... anime for me, and I thought live action, I'm gonna go for it because Willem Dafoe is the voice of the creepy whatever oni or demon.
Yeah,
it's too anime for me. I can't so, handle it.
Still can't do it.
So there are three live action Japanese movies that have already been made.
Mm-hmm.
The Netflix one was completely unnecessary and emo as all get out. Good Lord.
Yeah, I was having a hard time. Like, I love Willem Dafoe. Like, I'll watch pretty
that,
much anything.
I was so excited when I saw the trailer and I heard him and I was like, oh my God, this is going to be great. And I like Death Note.
Yeah.
But, whew, man, mm-hmm. that was, it was painfully bad, I thought.
It kind of frightens me because, like, I don't go super deep on anime, but I'm an Evangelion fan, which I feel like kind of is almost separate from other anime fans. Like, they're ostracized in a weird sort of way. Like, they have, I mean, because if you look at the Evangelion series, you have, like, they keep remaking them as yeah. opposed, you know, like, what do they call them? The Reduxes or the,
Yeah.
Yeah, the remakes, they're actually not too terrible, but, like...
Well, the initial show is fantastic, and then it just doesn't end, and then you have those two movies where you're like...
Well, they ran out of money. I mean, you wind up getting the pencil drawings at the end.
Where Shinji just gets creepier and creepier.
Yeah, oh my God.
Well, with the exception of Ghost in the Shell, which, from what Corey tells me, is amazing, there have been...
one person that thinks that, though.
I liked it.
It's okay, good, cool. But
which Ghost in the Shell, the movie?
The
movie.
Oh, yeah, it was Scarlet. Good.
Cool. I have yet to see a good anime to live-action transition.
So the ones they've done in Japan
have
been good.
Because it,
personal opinion.
Because it took place in Japan and it had Japanese actors. Whatever. We're not going to get into that.
Well, they just treat the source material with a little more respect without going, well, Americans aren't going to get this, which is typically what the thought process is.
Right.
But, I mean, there's a Rurouni Kenshin. There's like two live-action movies for that that are phenomenal. They are awesome. They're almost better than the anime. And then there's the Attack on Titan is pretty good.
I haven't watched that.
Me neither.
Yeah, the Blood Plus one was pretty good.
Yeah, and then coming out, they're doing Full Metal Alchemist right now, and the trailer for it looks incredible.
I won't be satisfied until I get a Yu Yu Hakusho, and then I'll be excited.
Is that the one with the hamster?
No, that's.
Are you talking about Ham Ham right now?
Yeah, that one.
It's just hamsters, dude.
It's the same thing, right?
I'd watch it.
Yu Yu Hakusho and Ham Ham are not the same show, Ian. But
oh, you too.
I have a giant
you
too. Hamtaro and Bijou that sit on the back of my couch.
Yes.
I think when it comes to stuff like that, it's like I talked about last week. You can really tell the difference between whenever they do a remake or a sequel or anything, and they're like, and they grew up with it and they were fans with it, and they're like, I want to do this franchise justice, versus Michael Bay, who's like, I know this was popular back in the day, and I just want to make a buck off it.
You know, he also likes to spin the camera around things really fast, cut about 3,000 times a second,
or have something explode while someone looks into the distance,
and then transport to Egypt.
Yeah,
Yeah, yeah, there you go. There you go.
Does it make sense?
And actually, that's going to play right into, I want to hang on to that thought, that's going to play right into our big topic of this week. But, Corey, you were just saying that you had tons of stuff to talk about.
Well, I just said it wasn't a dead news week,
before
we
got distracted by tentacle monsters.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Thank you, Travis. Just, you know.
Okay, so... So I try really hard not to feed on the scraps that the higher ups give me, but I'm such a Star Wars fanboy that I can't help it.
Oh, here we go.
So the director of Episode 9 left.
Yes, we heard that. Yeah,
and they're trying to get Wonder Woman's director.
You know, I actually had heard that the headline was something like, "Is Star Wars ready for a woman director?"
And absolutely,
I think so.
Oh man,
I don't have a problem with it.
I think she can handle it.
Patty just did a fantastic job with what was Patty, wasn't it? Yep. With Wonder Woman. Yeah, I don't have a problem with that.
Who was the person that they let go of? I recognize the name, but I can't
remember. Oh, I can't remember his
what
name.
Was the big credit though.
It was the dude that directed Jurassic World.
Oh.
Okay.
So it's not a big loss. It's an opportunity for a huge gain, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
Well, it's just like the guys stepping away from I talked about it a couple weeks ago, the Han Solo movie.
Oh right.
Right. Right?
Now Ron Howard's on. Well, this was the other bit of news that got me super excited this week was I had mentioned that they cut an entire character.
Right.
Like
right.
This one guy's whole performance because he couldn't come back and reshoot it. So they recast that role and now Paul Bettany is playing that role.
Yeah.
And so I was like, "Oh, buddy." I got all super
interesting. Yeah.
I have this weird part of me that really hopes it's Greedo. Just like this long elaborate backstory into how he shot first and then
oh man.
And Paul Bettany could totally play Greedo. I mean, we saw the Vision. He was bright red for a while. And green.
I
same
love
color as Greedo after Han was done with him.
I love every single thing about that idea.
I wasn't wanting it, but now I am, and I'm going to be really angry if it doesn't happen.
I kind of feel the same way.
Well, I just keep picturing him from like flogging himself in...
Yes, that's the one that bothers me.
Yeah.
The Dan Brown novel that...
Da Vinci Code. God, where was that?
So we'll have him dressed up as a monk, but doing like the duck face thing, talking.
Oh my God.
Oh.
Was that was the second Da Vinci Code, though. The follow-up, wasn't it?
No, I never saw that.
Oh, the Angels and Demons? No, I'm pretty sure it was in Da Vinci Code.
It was
Code.
In Dante's Inferno. Or Dante's Inferno.
What is with you?
No, Dante's Peak with Pierce Brosnan, right? Or was it Volcano?
Filmed in Wallace, Idaho.
Multnomah Falls. That's where the Dante's Inferno is at this point. Good grief.
You want to talk about a sequel to Dante's Inferno?
It's called Multnomah Falls.
How does that
happen? Well,
what was it, Mulholland Drive? No, that's something totally different.
Oh, no.
Totally
Dude, I'm
different.
I'm on a lynch kick right now. Let's watch that.
You've been through Mulholland Drive, I take it, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. I made the... my apologies. With apologies to Craig, I made the recommendation to one of my coworkers that he check out because he was kind of on a lynch kick, and I said, oh, you should watch Mulholland Drive. That one's way out there. He came back and said, y'all totally watched it, and I'm like, I'm so sorry.
I was joking.
I hope it was okay. I hope you're okay.
I've been going back through Twin Peaks.
Uh-huh.
So I'm deep in it. And
original?
Yeah.
Okay.
I haven't watched the remake yet. I'm trying to get through everything to have it fresh in my mind when I watch the new one. But so I found this podcast called Damn Fine Podcast.
nice.
And there's a couple of guys who are doing the same thing. They went back and they're episode by episode watching the series and doing a podcast episode for each one. And I was listening to it today, and they were talking about the pilot, and they're going through, and the guy's like, for those of you that don't know David Lynch, he directed Dune. And the other guys on the podcast just jumped this dude. They're like, you bring up the one movie he took his name off of? Like, what?
Alan Smithy, that guy.
Alan Smithy.
Dune was not that bad.
It's not, but Well,
that's like bringing.
It's actually pretty bad.
That's like introducing Nicolas Cage and talk about Raising Arizona.
Well, that's the only Nicolas Cage movie you should ever talk about.
That's like Drive Angry is what it is.
I like that movie.
You would. I like Shoot 'Em Up. That's just as bad.
Don't they kill a guy with a frozen carrot in that movie?
They kill a lot of guys with carrots.
With lots of different things.
A lot of stuff happens. Paul Giamatti shows up.
What are we doing?
Where's this going? That's podcast at advunderground.com.
Why does everybody hate the movies I like?
So we traipsed
because
awfully
you like
close.
Movies. I tried to censor myself.
Yeah, you didn't do it very well, did you? All right. There's one demerit for Corey tonight.
No banana sticker for you.
Sorry, guys.
The brown star.
The same color of that guy's car.
That's right.
As my granddaughter says, she had her dojo points taken away or whatever it was. No.
Bow to your sensei.
Yeah.
That's adorable.
So, you guys have touched on it a couple times tonight. Big topic. Is Hollywood out of ideas or the revenge of the reboot? What is it with all of the reboots?
You reboot a reboot and it's new again.
I guess. Yeah. I guess.
Actually, that's a good example of one done well, I feel.
With Homecoming?
With Homecoming, yeah.
There are so many different things that I just quickly ran down a quick list here of this is television and movies, and this doesn't have anything to do with the comics that have rebooted over the years, how many different times. The $100,000 Pyramid. What?
The game show?
The game show. They're doing a reboot on the game show. Roseanne is coming back. You know,
that's necessary.
Well, she needs a job, I guess. Full.
John doesn't.
John doesn't. No, but she does.
They're just gonna recast him with Tom Arnold and hope nobody notices.
Like they did with Becky.
Oh yeah.
Full House is back. You know, they've got the new Full House.
Don't talk about that.
Will and Grace is coming back. It's. I don't know. X-Files, Frasier, Munsters.
Wait,
they're looking
what?
At doing, yes.
They're bringing back Frasier?
They're talking what? About doing a Frasier reboot.
Can we have Cheers to Electric Boogaloo?
works for me. Dipping back into the 80s. SWAT. They were talking about doing that. One Day at a Time. The old TVs.
With Schneider?
Yeah, with Schneider. Yeah.
Yes.
Break out your innuendo.
You talked about Twin Peaks. This one got me. Sigmund and the Sea Monster. They
yeah,
want to do.
Sigmund the Sea Monster.
No.
We were just talking about
yeah.
that too.
That
yeah.
weird, like,
yeah.
LSD trip
yeah.
monster
yeah.
thing that looks. Oh.
What was the dude's name that you were trying to tell?
H.R. Puffin stuff.
Yeah.
H.R. Puffin stuff. Yeah. Jack Wilde was the, you know,
yeah.
I don't know.
All those horrible. Nightmare shows.
Just, well, hey man, I was really high and I thought of this. The kids will love it.
I could never figure it out. There was a movie back in the 70s called Green Slime. And
I remember this.
I absolutely love this movie. It's so bad. And it's these aliens that become, you know, these tentacle
it's
monsters.
Mold with eyes.
Which looks like Sigmund.
Which has, it all comes right back.
Consenticles, yeah, there you go. But it looks like Sigmund,
oh,
you know?
God.
So I'm trying to figure
oh,
out
my
what,
God.
Where's this going? So they're looking at The Crow. They're looking at redoing
now,
Happy
okay.
Days.
Hold on. No. I'm going to put my foot down real quick and just express my distaste at yet another reboot of The Crow. Not to say that it's untouchable.
To be fair, there's only been a television reboot. All the other movies are separate storylines. I will fight you to the death over this.
Oh.
Do we need to bring up Edward Furlong or Eric
Mabius?
No, it's
garbage. I'm not saying they're good. I'm not saying they were good. I'm not saying that.
Technically, The City of Angels was pretty much a reboot anyway. I mean, it was essentially...
Well, here's the thing is, with James O'Barr's comic...
It was... Okay.
You had the initial Eric Draven story.
I'm on your side. Mm-hmm. 100%.
Right? And then every... series that followed that followed a different crow.
I agree with you on that.
Yeah.
So the movies, it would make sense that they did the same thing.
Yeah. Actually, not to get too off topic, because you have a valid point. I guess they aren't really reboots.
just
And it would be nice to be able to watch a crow without having that distaste in my mouth with the whole Brandon Lee
Right.
Yeah. I really genuinely, maybe this isn't why I work in the movie business, but I genuinely think they need to like hang up Brandon Lee's jersey and just don't do the Eric Draven story ever again.
I agree wholeheartedly.
They did. They're so thinking about having Aquaman as
no,
Draven.
No,
they talked about it for a while. They talked
his name is Jason Momoa. Aquaman's not his real name.
Yes, it is.
I'm pretty sure it is.
Yeah, I ran into him at the store the other day.
That's what it says on the poster.
He's Khal Drogo Aquaman. And it's something about Stargate. I don't know. Anyway.
Also see Stargate.
Somebody's going to name their child that. Not the Kurt Russell way. Khal Drogo Aquaman.
But they actually did reboot the Eric Draven storyline for a TV show called
right.
The Crow Stairway to Heaven, which featured the guy from Iron Chef.
What? Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
I remember the show, but I don't really. It's kind of like around about the same time as the Highlander TV series.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. And it only ran for maybe 13 episodes, 14 episodes.
Yeah,
I don't
it wasn't
have
very
a,
long. Yeah.
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 I didn't know it was that short.
But it was the dude from the guy that hosts Iron Chef.
Wow. Now, see, I would be okay if they. Back to the J.O. Barr comic. Like, I think the only way I would be okay with them touching a reboot of the Eric Draven story would be if they stuck. Kind of Frank Miller style, you know, Sin City, like almost their very iconic shot for shot, maybe not shot for shot,
yeah.
But if they went back to the actual graphic novel and did it,
brought back
because,
the weird dead cowboy thing.
Yeah, I mean, the graphic novel went places, but that thing is so beautiful to look through. And just like if you read through it from beginning to end, watching his art style improve over the course of like working on it.
The wonderful thing about that comic is you can almost like instinctually feel what you should be listening to while reading it.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Like it's just got this soundtrack on the page. Like it's just bled out. Like, oh, I need to go turn The Cure on right now.
I need some Robert.
Yeah.
Right now.
I guess the question becomes, where do we stop making reboots? I mean, is there a valid reason to reboot?
So it has come down to, and this, I mean, disagree if any, but it's come down to the fact that Hollywood's not willing to take a gamble. They're not willing to back anything that isn't already established.
Right.
Every single thing that's coming out is already a TV show or a comic or another movie or whatever it happens to be. They don't take a gamble on anything that isn't already quote unquote a hit.
It's something that
what
has a warm fuzzy attached.
Battleship.
Battleship was a it's a hit board game.
So
and that's
no
it. One's disputing that, Travis.
It's especially true in the horror field because horror movies, as far as critics are concerned, are just the refuse of the film industry, but they make great money. But again, they're not wanting to take a gamble. That's why 3 months ago, Corey and I were going through all the horror movies that were going to come out this fall and winter. They're all reboots.
Wait, they're reboots, but they're not sequels? See, we've entered it.
Sequels.
You're right.
There's a key difference, especially with horror, because horror is definitely one of those genres where you see franchises go on way too long. Like Hellraiser 7,
right.
Leprechaun
right.
17,
in space. Which is actually excellent, by
again,
the way.
Again, anytime they go in space, that's my favorite. Jason X is my favorite one.
Well, and see, they've even rebooted Friday at this point because the.
Jason's
the,
in space.
Whatever the one they did in like 2000. Yeah, Jason X is phenomenal.
It's fantastic. Him killing the chick on the holodeck is about the funniest thing.
The sleeping bag versus the sleeping bag. Yeah. But, I mean, they've even rebooted that. Did they technically reboot Halloween, or was that just... They've kept that one going, right?
No, Rob Zombie's story was a retelling.
Oh, that's
of the
right.
Original.
I forgot about
so
those.
So, whenever... The first one, in an interview, he was like, well, I kind of did have to, like... With the first Halloween movie, I really did have to, like, play by the rules and everything. And then whenever I got to do the second one, I really just got to bleed all over it, figuratively and literally. I thought it was funny. Shut up.
Bleeding wounds are always funny.
So,
doubly so on the head.
No, but he just got to do his own thing with the sequel. But the first one, he was like, okay, I guess I'll do what you guys want me to do.
You're talking about
the
Rob Zombie?
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, now that you brought it up, Corey and Katie, I remember it. Although I think I kind of blocked it out because it was a little too... I like House of a Thousand Corpses, and Devil's Rejects is one of my top five family films ever. And I mean that, and I will defend that point. That's actually...
I understand what you're saying.
Yes.
However, I felt like the Halloween thing, I, it explained too much about Michael. It's kind of like that Hannibal thing, like the Hannibal Rising concept of
it takes
we know
the wind out of the sails.
Exactly. Yeah. Like Michael Myers was an iconic, like that kid snapped, we don't know why. Like one night, you know, Halloween night, little Michael went nuts, but then we get the Rob Zombie version, which is the Bleeding Heart version.
At least they never explained why he chose a Shatner mask to wear.
Yeah. Not only that, but there were just plot holes that you could drive a dump truck through, which isn't inconsistent for Rob Zombie, but still it bothered me.
Have you seen El Super Beasta?
I own the graphic novel. I right. read it back to back. I am
right.
secretly El Super Beasto.
You know,
I think that's who you should be for Halloween.
Oh yeah, and you have to come to the stately Martin Mansion for Martin Manor for the Halloween bash.
Not
to
refer you
to the Lucha cast. That
not
some
to
point
yes. not to give out any spoilers,
you
but
Mr.
of the podcast and I have decided to that I will be Sexy Morty.
What?
And he's going to be Rick.
I'm still laughing about Mr. of the podcast.
No.
Mr. from the podcast.
So you're going to wear... How are you going to do the chin? Morty has a real distinct chin.
I don't know. Contouring.
Contouring. There you go. It'll be a prosthetic.
Dramatic mayhem.
I'm sure.
Heavy lighting.
I think somewhere online, I'm sure you can get a prosthetic of Bruce Campbell's chin.
I'm sure.
I actually think that's a thing.
And I could go on a Google deep dive and find it.
I'm sure Bruce will loan you his. We can just call
him
up.
Enough money,
and
Bruce will just show up and play your Halloween costume.
Groovy.
I love that man. He's got a new book out, actually.
Another new one.
Hail to the Chin.
Hail to the Chin.
I've read the first two. I have not read... Oh,
dude,
man.
How to Make Love the Bruce Campbell Way is a fantastic book.
Yes, I agree with you wholeheartedly.
I adore that man.
You know, I sitting here listening to all this, and again, back to the big topic here, I get when the product that you originally put out is an unfulfilled product, and you go back and better it. But just to see it, you know, kicked back up, you know, up against the wall to see what sticks, I don't get that. I mean, this project that Katie and I have kind of been working on here is a project that I did 15, 20 years ago. And it always felt like it was unfulfilled for me. And I've kept trying to bring it back and bring it back. I don't see that quite in the same light here, though. Because
You're talking about the difference between a corporate attitude of we need to continue making money with the things that we know make money, and what you're talking about is a creator feeling like what they have produced is imperfect or not somehow up to whatever they're expecting. And that's why you get the George Lucas prequels,
right?
I mean, or I'm not the prequels, the special editions, where you get that, or the ET where Steven Spielberg pulls the guns out and you know everybody's gesticulating with walkies.
I've got a walkie talkie.
Well, yeah, and last week we were talking about the Fantastic Four original that chucked in the trash.
Right.
You know, because it was just made to blow a budget and manage to keep that franchise. That was what it was made for, to keep the franchise.
I think what we run into is you have 2004, Ronald Moore came up with, hey, man, let's do Battlestar Galactica. And reinfused, totally brought this thing, added new life to it, changed the landscape of it, and made it so you didn't have, you know, Adama running around in a weird shiny cape.
Yeah. Well, it's reinterpretations of, again, familiar and comfortable stories, right?
Yeah, well, but you're bringing it up and made it relevant, made it work. Most of the time you get Ninja Turtles 2 into the shadows or out of the shadows or whatever it's called.
I like that film.
Well, you know what I mean, though.
What was that?
I don't
Katie
have any,
from the podcast?
I don't have anything nice to say.
Are you from the podcast or of the podcast?
I haven't
because
decided.
It makes a big difference.
It's interchangeable.
Well, figure it out.
Yeah.
It's important.
Sort yourself out.
Figure it out, Katie. Get it together.
Well, you know, Peter Jackson redoing Lord of the Rings, but he has now created what I kind of at this point consider, you know, the quintessential Lord of the Rings, whereas anything that was done before, most of it was animated and it was kind of poorly animated, but
you know, Ralph Bakshi is a genius.
Is that the
yeah.
No.
Mm-mm. Different, you know, different animals. So let me spin this another way then. Is there anything that you feel like should be rebooted?
Babylon 5.
Pat's going to love you for that. You know that.
I'm serious. Yeah? Well, to be honest, Babylon 5 still holds up as far as the series, I think, and the story is still, I find it entertaining. The effects don't whatsoever.
Right.
I mean, you're looking at what looks like, I don't know the name of the program, but something like Blender or Grinder, you know, old.
Yeah, old school.
Yeah.
Where, like, what was the program where you could make, like, landscapes or spheres? Do you guys remember what I'm talking about? Like, early 3 modeling where, like,
it would pop up. I don't remember the name of it, but I know.
You know what I'm talking
about?
I would spend so, that explains a lot about me. I just spend hours making these strange little Escher-like landscapes. I need something like that.
Fractal or something. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
One that I really dug, and it was a reboot, was the Evil Dead remake that came out.
No.
Okay.
Did you not watch it?
No, I watched it.
Oh, man, I love that movie.
You and I are
going
to have an issue, sir. I adored that movie.
Here they go again.
I...
Katie from the podcast and Ian from the other end of the table.
And also from the podcast.
Also, I'm not saying anybody else isn't from the podcast. I'm saying I'm just from the podcast.
Now she's of the podcast. That puts it in a whole new light.
I haven't decided
just
yet.
Like everyone else is not Reba McEntire.
Yeah, we'll give you that one.
That was good.
Nailed it.
They don't even know what we're talking about.
You got dojo points for
and
that,
and a
okay?
9 from the Russian judge. Well played.
Ooh.
It was good.
No, so what's your thing against the Evil Dead movie?
Oh, man. It wasn't fun.
Oh, okay.
Now, I will also say that the original Evil Dead is not what I would call a fun movie either.
Right.
But its production values lend it a level of...
So what your vision of what Evil Dead should be is Evil Dead 2 and Army of Darkness.
That's what I like about the franchise.
Same here. And then so we get that with Ash versus the Army of Darkness.
I didn't think that the Evil Dead remake was bad. It's just not like it was. They went further than I was. Like the hypodermic needle part, actually.
Ooh,
specific.
Yeah,
the guy in the bathroom. That was where they kind of lost me. I was like, eh. And it's not that it was bad because it was incredibly well done to the point where it made me, and again, I just said Devil's Rejects is one of my favorite family films. I still cringe at that part, and it was just, I couldn't get past it.
The sawing noise whenever she's in the bathroom.
Probably
with the piece of broken glass.
Yeah, I think I know what you're talking about. It's kind of like the ankle with the pencil in the first Evil Dead, where they stab the apple, you know, in the Foley booth, but the pencil twists around, you know, night. But it looks like rubber in that, you know, they're stabbing Gumby or Stretch Armstrong.
Right. What I'm thinking is, do you think that if Bruce Campbell and friends had the budget for the first Evil Dead, that they would have been more campy with it?
No. Okay. No, not at all. In fact, if you look at Sam Raimi, and this is my Raimi theory, he has an established pattern where by the time he gets sick of something, it becomes ludicrous, and it usually takes about 3. Anything he does, it begins serious. The second one transitions to playful, but I'm still taking it serious. Spider-Man did the same thing. Evil Dead did the same thing.
Right.
Hercules and Xena, which were produced by him, and Rob Tappert and all the other rest of them. It seems like as he gets tired of something, he starts pushing it to see how far to the ludicrous he can take it before people go, hey, why is Hercules playing an electric guitar?
That's kind of why I love him.
Well, I do too. I appreciate the fact that he's willing to do that. Yeah. But it's just, I love watching when Raimi is handed the reins to something because it's like, all right, well, 3 years from now, we're going to see a clown version of this.
What's the Take Me to Hell? Is that what it was?
Oh, Drag Me to Hell?
Drag Me to Hell. That movie was phenomenal. When Raimi wants to do horror right, man, it is on point.
That movie struck fear into my heart.
That's what it's supposed to do.
That movie was so, oh my God.
Oh, he was a producer on there, right? Was he a director? Did he direct that?
I thought he directed
it. Oh, he may have. I don't remember. It's been quite a while since I've seen it.
It was horrifying.
Getting back to the topic.
No, that's all right. That's all right. I love the digression here. And, one I was seeing that this isn't necessarily a reboot. Well, I guess it sort of is. They released this week new pictures of Alicia Vikander, or whatever her name is, that's Laura Croft. for the new
for Tomb Raider. Okay.
But it's supposed to be a prequel, I understand. It's not going to be kind of the Lara Croft going off and finding the, you know, the archaeological.
Well, it looks like it's based on the games that were the, I don't know if they're Crystal Dynamics or if it was Eidos or who put them out, but the ones that came out here a couple years ago when they actually rebooted the game franchise because they took Lara to a much more almost abusive level of, like,
they physical. Took the fun out of it, is what they did.
Yeah, they Evil Dead remaked it.
Yeah.
Remade it?
No, it's it looks good, though. Back to that same point.
Yeah, this one does, but again, not really a reboot per se, you know, going towards the sequel type of thing. But still, we haven't seen Lara Croft since
Not to get too far into the Angelina. Video game weeds, but speaking of reboots and changes to familiar characters, there was a change to the Japanese Nintendo bio of Mario.
Oh.
Yeah, he's no longer. Is that where you're going?
Former plumber.
Former plumber.
Former Whoa. Plumber.
Apparently, he got fired for being high on mushrooms.
That's a good one. I like that one.
That just that blew my mind. Well, apparently, he started as a carpenter, which, you know, that's a familiar story.
Jesus.
And then became a plumber after fighting a giant.
I feel great. Yes. Sorry. Go.
I really didn't have anywhere. I'm glad you guys saved me on that one because I was running out of steam real fast.
So what about reboots or sequels to universally hated stuff? Because they've started talking about doing a Twilight reboot.
Oh, God.
I hope they make it gritty as hell.
It's just 30 Days of Night.
I want to watch Bella's dad whoop some ass.
Oh, dude.
Like, he's so pent up in those movies. He's the only part of those films I can tolerate. Dude, Bella's dad, just watching him, like, sit there and seethe. Not that he does that, but his mustache does.
Ooh, yeah.
Oh, really? Already?
Yeah.
Dude, seething Already? Mustache goes up there with flossing Mogwai, in my opinion.
Seething mustache, yeah.
I'm just going to keep a list of punk band names of just stuff you've said.
So I saw a post where it was an idea because they had the whole 50 Shades of Grey thing did a book strictly from another character's point of view. I want to read the books from Charlie's point of view.
Charlie Swan?
I have no idea who you're talking about.
The dad, that's his name.
Oh, he has a name.
Yeah, I was in high school when those books came out.
To be fair, I read them all, but it was just to prove a point.
Yeah.
Which is to say that they were...
you don't have anything better to do with your time?
I was fighting battles I shouldn't have been.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
I'll give you that.
You know, so we've had a film of 50 Shades of Grey, which was based on a fan fiction of Twilight. So can we get a, like, textbook or documentary on 50 Shades of Grey or something like that? I want to take it back into, like, the legitimate realm. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, when we get to, like, a film studies class and we talk about these later, there will be a textbook that's written about both of these things.
So I don't want that to exist. I don't need it.
Am I taking this too far?
My favorite college class I took was a film studies class.
I don't want it.
You watched Reservoir Dogs. I was happy.
But, you do bring up a good point, though.
Yeah.
If they do the shows right,
mm-hmm.
and maybe strip out all of the teenage angst,
yeah.
and do it in a serious vein,
you still have vampires that sparkle in the sunshine, and that's just wrong.
Yeah, that's pretty high stakes.
It's just, God.
So yeah. Anything else that you feel like? I mean, Babylon 5 is a great one.
I still want to go down this Twilight reboot hole. Who would you cast? I want to know.
I wouldn't.
No, I want...
If we're doing like a 30 Days of Night type situation...
Okay.
I want to throw Mila Jovovich in there somewhere.
I'm always okay with that.
I'm not saying she'd play the main chick.
I'm fascinated by this train of thought. I'm just trying to figure out where you're going.
I don't know. She's the first person I think of.
In the morning.
She keeps me going.
She's the fifth element. I understand. The perfect being.
Yeah.
Have you ever noticed that the beginning of the heavy metal animated film is the fifth element?
It was 100% yeah, Fifth Element.
A thousand. Like, I had no idea. I was watching it the other night.
I'm pretty sure Luke Benson just was like, hey, I got an idea.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I had this dream, man. It was crazy. Yeah, no, 100%.
Let's,
like, yeah.
Let's bleach Bruce Willis's hair. I got an idea. Let's bleach Chris Tucker's hair. I've got an idea.
Oh, man.
Let's shave Gary Oldman's head. I got an idea.
What is with that weird black ooze thing when he gets upset?
Like, I think it's Hershey syrup.
Oh, okay.
I don't know why.
I'll and it was Hershey syrup.
That explains thing. Nothing.
It was Hershey syrup in the Psycho scene in
That's
the original.
Where it was a
tribute, you know,
exactly.
So it's yeah. There you go.
Oh, did you see that they're doing that?
What?
They're making a movie about Hitchcock making Psycho.
Ooh.
Inception.
Didn't they do that
I don't know. I never saw the Hitchcock movie.
That was a really good...
Hopkins plays him.
What?
Anthony Hopkins
I saw
plays
that
him.
Hopkins was going to be in a Pope movie.
A Pope movie?
A Pope movie?
Yeah. What?
He's playing the Pope.
That's
like
amazing.
A real Pope or just...
I think the Pope.
as opposed to the other one.
As a Pope that has existed or as a fictional version of the Pope?
I'm not sure. I just saw the headline.
He's just the lead singer from Ghost.
You never close your eyes.
Thank you.
I would watch the
crap out of that movie.
No, I appreciate it. Trust me. Anthony Hopkins is the Pope, yes.
So yes, I did know that there was a Hitchcock movie that was about that, but I thought it already came out.
No, from what I was reading, there's one being made that's like just around.
It's in the process.
Yeah.
There was a Hitchcock movie that was a couple of years ago that came out.
With Anthony Hopkins,
yeah. Right, yeah.
But they're making one specifically about the making of Psycho.
That would be interesting.
That would be interesting,
Speaking of, that is a really good reboot that I genuinely enjoyed, the one where Vince Vaughn was Norman Bates.
Haven't seen it.
You like that?
I really did.
Such a song associated with it.
I had.
True.
I had only ever seen Vince Vaughn in Dodgeball and The Breakup and all of these just silly comedies, and then he's just sitting there being crazy and being Norman Bates. It terrified me.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but that's the one that's actually like a literal shot-for-shot remake of the original, right? I seem to recall some controversy with that Psycho where the director stuck so close to the original shots and angles and cuts that it was...
But even the uncut, stuff that was filmed that wasn't originally in.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I remember that in Anne Hesh. She was accessories.
There was some stuff in the Vince Vaughn remake that they could not have put in a movie back in the day.
Yep, there is that scene.
That scene does exist, Katie.
Where he orders hamburgers.
Yep. So do you want him to reboot Willard?
Willard.
Again?
Again.
Again? Wasn't the Crispin Glover one was a reboot, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Yep.
Man. How about Reanimator? We haven't seen that in a while.
Ooh.
We're just going to turn this into a, hey, let's make...
Hey, what about...
Some idea?
What about, hey, let's remake Star Trek, okay? Oh, wait, they are.
Well, this is where the problem comes in, because nobody... Instead, we should be sitting here and going like, okay, we're going to take a piece of what you said and a piece of what you said and a piece of what you said and a piece of what you said, and we're going to throw it in a hat, and then we're going to shake it all up, and then we're going to throw it out and see what, you know, it's the...
So we become the Family Guy manatees from...
Yeah.
Well, was it William Burroughs that did... He used to chop things up? Who was the producer for... or was it the Beatles themselves? John Lennon, probably. Ed Scissors at some point. But, you know, just the idea of, like, randomly... editing your work and seeing what comes out?
Oh, it's George Martin.
Thank you.
That would do that, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
For the benefit of Mr. Kite, was just a series edits or cuts on a piece of tape, and they threw all those together. And
does anyone have the distaste? Because we're talking about reboots here, and it seems like it's kind of offensive at a certain level for like films and TV, but what about songs? What about covers? I mean, that's essentially a reboot.
So
yeah.
It's funny that you bring that up. There is a, I'm going to use the term loosely now, heavy metal band that is called All That Remains.
Okay.
They had a couple of records around 2002, 2004 that were awesome, absolutely phenomenal. Some of the stuff after that is off the beaten path, and they recently did a metal cover of The Thunder Rolls by Garth Brooks, and it is a train wreck of horrible. It makes me question why music is made.
I have to hear this.
Yeah, we're going to have to check that one out.
You have to gauge which is worse, that or Sad But True with Snoop Dogg.
I want to hear both of these.
I want to hear that. I haven't heard that.
It's god awful.
But then, can it be worse than the Kid Rock song where he took Sad But True and just rapped over the top of it?
Kid Rock.
Then you look at something like the remake of While My Guitar Gently Weeps from Kubo. Was it Kubo Two Strings?
Kubo and the Two Strings, yeah.
Yeah.
That was a hell of a cover.
That was blow me away fantastic. So
well, look at was it Tears for Fears with Mad World, but the Gary what's his name? Gary Jules?
Yeah.
Cover of it that's associated with Donnie Darko is head and shoulders above the original.
Mm-hmm.
So you get these versions that are just like, that's what that song was meant to be, hurt by Nine Inch Nails, but that's a Johnny Cash song.
Yeah, yeah. You know?
Then you get like 3,000 versions of the song Closer.
Something that would interest me. Have you seen the movie Across the Universe?
That's an excellent film.
I adore it.
Yes, actually.
It's one of my favorite movies that I pick and choose, but there were a lot of songs that they did that were better than the originals.
It was all redos.
So was the soundtrack to I Am Sam, and there's some phenomenal.
Yeah, exactly.
On
yeah,
I mean, actually haven't seen that film.
It's good. It's real good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember with Across the Universe, the Eddie Izzard being for the benefit of British Cut.
Yes.
Yeah.
I just love Eddie Izzard. And you mentioned the Munsters; they're trying to pull that back again because they did that reboot.
They did a reboot.
Eddie Izzard as Grandpa Munster. Which I've never seen.
It's amazing.
Who was the guy that played Herman? It was a complete throw-off for me. Like, I recognized the dude, but as far as picturing him as Herman, I was dumbfounded.
Well,
I have to ask. Does anyone remember Addams Family 3, where Tim Curry played Gomez?
Yeah.
Like, I've a direct-to-video?
Yep.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
I just wanted to
make sure somebody else knew that.
Travis and I are just that.
My ex-wife worked at Blockbuster around that time.
Nice.
I watched everything.
The Addams Family is a franchise that I don't want to say never, but they would really have to screw it up for me to ever get sick of Addams Family reboots.
I agree.
Mm. Yeah. I will never be sick of those.
So bring up Tim Curry. I've got to throw something out here, and I semi-sort of gave it away. Did you know Tim Curry was the first voice of the Joker in Batman the Animated Series?
Yeah, I did.
Really?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
And he got sick, I guess got bronchitis or something, and couldn't work for long enough that they kicked him off and
then came Mark Hamill.
Brought in Mark Hamill.
Did he do it?
Just got nominated for GQ, GQ, that's the magazine.
Oh, yeah. Sounds like one.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
It's a long day.
They're letters, I know that.
GQ's magazine Idol of the Year.
GQ's
really?
Magazine,
wow.
Sports Illustrated.
Simon Pegg got to introduce him, and
really,
wow,
and so
that's
they
awesome.
Exchanged
general like, quarters,
fangirl moments.
yeah,
that's the one.
GQ, yeah. For those of us
just quitting,
ex-military.
Wait,
thank
starts
you.
With a J.
just doesn't start with a G.
Ian. Sometimes it does.
So I want to I'm gonna throw this at you guys because you're a little closer to her than I am. I would love to see
that rock over there for Katie.
Yeah. I'm gonna give you a little stink eye here from
have a Dumbledore.
Dumbledore.
Bludgeon her to death.
Dumbledore up here on my
go on
mixer. I would love to see a Mercy Thompson series out of Patty Briggs' books.
Oh, that'd be
great. It almost happened.
Yeah.
Did it?
Yeah.
Can we get Patty up here to talk about it? She's just back from like Dragon Con or something. We need to get Patty up here and talk about that.
I agree.
Yeah, I'd love to have her.
Somebody had bought the rights a while back.
I had heard that. It was Showtime or something, right?
Yeah, I don't remember who it was, but
that
then
could go
it just
either way.
Fizzled out and never
really?
Really happened.
Really?
Showtime's done some wonderful things. They've done some horrible things.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And that happens, doesn't
about.
It?
I was a fan of the Scrambled era.
Yeah.
The
Blue
what?
Ladies. Nothing. Never mind.
Okay.
I know what you're talking about.
Of course you do.
It's a glorious time to grow up.
I have a hard time remembering what is Showtime and what is HBO.
And who cares?
So if it's HBO, do people want to watch probably it? Probably good. And if it's Showtime,
Yeah, it might be.
You got Californication is great.
And then there's...
And even there.
So I also noticed in the, speaking of reboots or sequels, Angelina Jolie, who is not going to be taking Laura Croft's shorts, is doing a new Maleficent.
Really?
I heard that. That's going to be a sequel of that. I'm not quite sure how they're going to do it or what they're going to do with it. But
that brings an interesting question. That we're going down this. Disney is just continuously cranking out these live-action versions of their animated classics.
Their animated stuff.
All of
yeah.
the Song of the South. Yeah. So something along this line is, is there ever a point where it's acceptable? So, okay, there's reimaginings of a story and there's a modernization of a story, but then there are the ones that change huge, major plot lines and just take the story a completely different way.
Like Maleficent?
Like Maleficent is a perfect example of that. So I'm watching it and I'm like, okay, spoiler alert, the movie's 7 years old. She dies at the end.
Gasp.
Oh, thank you.
Sorry, guys. But, and then I'm like, okay, she's going to turn into a dragon and die. I'm just waiting for that to happen.
Isn't that metaphorically?
And then the movie's over and she just doesn't and she gets a happy ending. I'm like, that's not what happened.
Well, the whole Hobbit thing with the Peter Jackson thing where he brought in a whole new character, the Toriel character that was not in the books anywhere.
Yeah.
And from Lost gets to be an elf and.
Yeah. And what did it do to the story? I mean, it did nothing.
Nothing.
Absolutely nothing. She looked cute in the outfit. I like her in elf ears, but...
It just made this weird dynamic between the dwarves and Legolas, though.
Just this weird tension.
Yeah.
Just unresolved.
Boring.
Boring.
It was boring.
After the third movie, it was boring.
No, I love the... I actually really like the Hobbit movies, and because... So I have had this very unpopular opinion for a long time. I like differences in films. Mm. I like when you take a book and you give me your interpretation of it, your version of it. I don't get super angry because that guy's outfit wasn't quite right or that chick's hair color is different or whatever it is. I don't care.
Right.
I want your version of it. So Peter Jackson's Hobbit is a perfect example of that. I was just excited to go back to Middle Earth.
Oh, absolutely,
yeah.
Give me more.
I agree
with you. Give me lots more.
I would actually like to see the original interpretation of the Terminator where Lance Henriksen was supposed to play the Terminator as opposed to Schwarzenegger, which he was going to play more of like a camouflage predator, which is what they wound up bringing in with T-1000, which also heard an interview or read an interview with Robert Patrick where apparently Billy Idol was originally supposed to be T-1000 before he got into a wreck and hurt his leg or something.
What?
Right?
It was the, this was the
Terminator
cyberpunk 2. Era.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right. Well, and it kind of would have been continuation because, I mean, he picks up the outfit from the punks in the first movie, you know. Bill Paxton is standing there with the blue hair and all that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, everybody forgets.
That's freaky to when you, yeah, when you see Bill, yeah.
Random thought. Terminator is at least in the top three of one of the greatest love stories of all time. Fact.
God.
Yeah, between the Terminator and John?
I'm going to have to work on that one a little while, Katie, from the podcast.
Every line, every curve. I love you, Sarah. I always have.
Is it love story or just an interdimensional stalker?
Oh, man.
Nailed it.
He traveled through time for her, even though he knew he was going to die.
Are you Sarah Connor?
For love, and not only for the sake of the human race, but for love.
Are we
Travis.
Talking about Kyle Reese?
Yeah.
He did it because he was told to. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
John said get in there, and he got in there.
Don't ruin this for me. This is my favorite love story.
I'm hearing, where do I begin to tell the story?
That's a franchise that needs to stop.
Yes, absolutely.
No.
Absolutely.
I want to know what John Connor was doing on the toilet at 3 a.m. the day after Judgment Day.
All I wanted in the world was, I actually liked, what was the McG one?
Oh, Salvation?
Yeah, Salvation. Right. I liked that movie because all I wanted from the first time I saw Terminator 2, which I believe was the first one I saw as a kid, but all I wanted in the world was to watch those tanks rolling over all the burned skulls, and I wanted that. Give me post-apocalyptic metallic war. That's what I wanted to see.
So you wanted, like, the Universal Studios Judgment Day, like,
that's
interactive
exactly
thing, right?
What I wanted as a film, and that's the closest we've gotten so far.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, the McG one was all right. Yeah. It was pretty good.
It has one of the best, like, single-camera shots ever. It's the scene where John Connor comes up out of the bunker, and he runs across, and he gets in the helicopter. And it follows him up the helicopter, and then the helicopter gets shot down.
I didn't realize that was one take.
It's one continuous shot. That's fantastic. It's awesome.
Wow. Well, that's like in Children of Men. Oh, man. I love it when they do that.
Rope.
Good call. Yeah. Well, yeah, Rope's two long continuous shots, and that's it.
And that's it. The whole movie. Yeah, the Hitchcock film.
Yeah, they were doing something recently that was along those same lines. I don't remember what it was. Probably a play. I think those are kind of like that.
Just the logistics of doing that. Just
my evening with Andre.
So a quick shout out this week to all of our good friends in the realm of Star Trek. September 8th, 1966, which will be the day the podcast is bowing. So this is 51. Happy 51. That's very, very cool.
It's also my son's birthday, so I want to say happy birthday, Cash.
Well, there you go. That's a very auspicious kind of birthday there.
By the time this airs, happy birthday yesterday, Raquel.
Hey, happy birthday, Raquel.
Raquel, she even brought cake in before she left town today. I was like, here's birthday cake.
Where's it?
But are we going to talk about the fact that the cake says nobody likes you when you're 23 on it?
Ouch.
Is that wrong?
No, that's the most
I remember being
sentence.
Disliked a lot at 23.
I'm 23 and nobody likes me.
I'm pretty sure
Blink-182
pulled that line out of the Bible.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
That's Katie from the podcast.
The 23rd something.
Verse 23, I don't know.
One of those.
It's in Ruth, I think.
My favorite book.
Me.
Give me compliments.
if they ever remake Goonies, we riot. Plain and simple.
Oh, yes. No.
Definitely. Riot.
Can we
Unless
have a sequel?
I get to be Sloth.
There you go.
Can we have a sequel, like, with the original cast now?
Yeah, now. I want Goonies now.
No.
Call it that. Have it just be a live
Goonies
webcam,
now?
Like
just,
an invented just weird,
gives,
like...
They're just sitting on the
That just gives more money to Corey Feldman to pursue his music career, and I'm not okay with that.
I just need to see...
But Josh Brolin needs to be Thanos, Cable... And whoever the hell he was in the movie. What was
Headband.
His name? Headband.
Headband.
Yes, Headband.
Was his name.
Okay.
I thought it was funny.
I have a very dear friend who had a wonderful life, husband, kids in Colorado, and they sold everything. He quit his job, she quit her job, and they moved to Astoria. Because of the Goonies. And
did they think the ship was really there?
I don't know.
It's
Bethany,
not a documentary.
I still haven't gotten a good, you know.
Didn't get all the One-Eyed Willie's treasure.
And they love the place. You know, but Bethany, you did this for...
It's a gorgeous place.
Yeah,
it's
beautiful.
Really cool.
Beautiful. Hey, Sam Neill is 69 this week from Jurassic Park, and Sam's been in everything else, hasn't he?
Mouth of Madness, man.
Oh, that is a film.
Phenomenal.
I'll see that raised in Event Horizon.
Nailed it.
Oh, there you go. Hans Zimmer, composer, is 59, and I got to looking through Hans. We've been talking about this Tino Guo, who did the cello player that did the Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
And she's actually touring with Hans, who I guess is an incredible guitarist. But he's done scores for Man of Steel, Lone Ranger, the Sherlock Holmes movies, Pirates of the Caribbean movies,
Didn't
The Dark Knight.
Harry Potter?
I might have, just a phenomenal number of things. So
he actually just replaced somebody on something recently. I don't remember who got booted, but somebody got kicked off of, what was that? Somebody write in and let me know. Hans Zimmer just stepped in because some young buck composer got out of line
I tossed him. Podcast at advunderground.com. Let Ian know which one that is. Tommy Lee Jones turns 70. Can we do another Men in Black? I'd like another one.
Yeah.
With Tommy Lee Jones?
Yeah.
Do we need Josh Brolin to be young?
Actually, that was okay.
It was.
I mean, Men in Black 2. Right. Men in Black 2 was the worst, as far as I'm concerned.
Agreed.
Like, I can't come up with much redemption for that one.
I want to defend it, but I was like 8 when that movie came out. Johnny Knoxville probably need to watch it again.
Yeah, whatever. Of course, that's probably
who was the bad guy? Was that Laura Flynn Boyle?
Yeah, it was the plant gal with the fingers and the snakes and the, all that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And one last one. I promised Corey I would have something for him. Cassandra Peterson turned 65.
Yes.
This week. And we're gonna get Cassandra on the show one of these days.
Oh, man.
Just for Corey.
That's a bucket list, is to talk to her. I'm a huge Elvira fan, so
we will fulfill that one at some point. I don't know what year that'll be.
Wasn't she just in a game? Didn't she just do one of the? Wasn't like Call of Duty or something? She
showed up. She, in the zombie section of Call of Duty.
With the most. Oh yeah.
Elvira.
Have you seen the Elvira movie?
Movies.
My favorite.
Just check it out.
Yeah. Mistress of the Dark.
Oh yeah, dude.
What was the one? The Hollywood Hills. The Elvira's. Something Haunted Hills. Yeah.
Which was the one where she, like, an old uncle, like, left her a house or something?
That's
and she moved.
That's Mistress of the Dark.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the first one. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know if I've seen the second one.
Lovely lady, Cassandra, by the way.
She's not aged a day.
She's so cool.
Yeah. She is a hoot.
There was a TV show based around a tattoo shop in Springfield, Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say it's called Area 51 Tattoo, but I'm not 100% positive.
Mm-hmm.
I believe you.
If you say so.
The show was called Epic Ink, and it was this place is a tattoo parlor run by a bunch of nerds. It is a nerd-centric tattoo shop. They do, like, everything is Star Wars figures and Simpson memorabilia and, like, all the way around the shop.
Sick.
And they focus, like, they go to cons and tattoo at cons.
Oh, nice.
What?
They're rad, and they do some really, really amazing work. And one of the first episodes of the second season of that show, this woman came in, and she had a cable access show and idolized Elvira. And Cassandra came in the full getup.
Oh, really?
Sat next to her as they tattooed a portrait.
Oh my god.
Of her. And then she was talking about, like, well, I don't have any tattoos. And the guy was like, well, that's just criminal. Sit down. And gave her first tattoo. And it's a really cool episode of that show.
What did she get?
You know, I don't remember, to be perfectly honest with you. Now I feel like I failed this story.
And I think the more important question is, where?
I also...
Exactly. If it's not like a spider or a bat or something.
She was in the store, and that's where.
Yep.
Go and watch the episode.
Part of me just hopes it was barbed wire around her upper arm.
Yes.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Just be as completely generic as you can.
How cruel is that?
It's not.
It's not. Okay.
Pamela Anderson has one.
Oh.
Corey's got one.
Can we reboot barbed wire?
Barbed wire.
It's just as tacky, but it's not barbed wire. I was just about to say, I really like barbed wire.
I really like barbed wire, too. That movie is amazing.
Oh, we're
awful.
Talking about the movie.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well,
we're talking about tattoos of barbed wire.
She does show up at the end of the Baywatch movie, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I watched that reboot in the theater, paid money. Yep. I watched it for money.
How do you feel about yourself
you
afterwards?
It for money.
I feel like it was an experience. It's a thing I did.
You paid money
can't
for
take
that.
It back.
I paid money to go see the Sex and the City movie, and I've never seen something that big before.
Really?
Full screen.
Worst
$10 I've ever paid.
And you want your money back now?
You ever walked out of a movie?
Yeah, actually.
That one?
It should have been.
Did I ever tell you about when I dressed up as Sarah Jessica Parker for Halloween?
You just wore a horse mask.
No, I'm not joking. I did. I wore 6-inch heels. I wore this big, like, spandex one-arm dress, and I put on a horse mask.
Did you put on giant hands?
That's Katie from the podcast.
You should have had John behind you, just dressed as Matthew Broderick holding your purse.
God,
as we devolve down the hole.
That's all we do.
Podcast at advunderground.com. And I'd like to ask everybody out there that's listening to pop onto iTunes or wherever your favorite podcast place is and give us a really honest review and rating. We'd really appreciate that. And we've this is episode 12 and really enjoying everything.
Wow.
So,
yes.
Yeah, kind of moving along. So about to wrap things up. Katie, thanks again, as usual. I love the hat, by the way. Is that your Jacques Cousteau kind of look?
I'm sorry, I can't hear you over my hat.
She's part of the Zisu Society.
That's what I was about to say.
John and I bought a shotgun the other day, so I made him buy me this
hat. Did the hat come with it?
Yeah.
No, I just demanded it.
You know what that
you
is.
You have to wear one of these if you're going to be using the shotgun.
It's a target.
You can't put
target.
It all the way down over your head. You have to leave that little bubble at the top so you look ridiculous.
Yeah. Yes.
But it's cute. It really is cute. Yeah.
I called her Orange Hat earlier, and I think she thought I said Orange Head because she looked at me like she was about to stab me.
He's like, what? Yeah.
That's an Oompa Loompa slur, you know.
There you go. There you go. Travis, thanks for being here.
Always. A pleasure.
Yeah. You started off really good. And then,
burnout.
You're going to get stabbed.
Burnout after we're done
talking.
I had
this great story about soup. Yeah.
Dude. So,
what kind of soup?
It was clam chowder.
Clam chowder. That's good.
It was quite lovely.
No, you don't understand. I was like, dude, we were talking about stuff earlier, and he was like, I'm going to go eat some soup. I was like, save it for the podcast. Make sure you drop that on, Greg. I didn't expect him to
So,
do
Travis,
that.
What's new this week?
Soup. So, let me ask you a question. Was it Manhattan clam chowder?
New England.
New England clam
gross.
Chowder. Okay.
Is that great. The red or the white?
What do you mean gross?
I appreciate you sharing. That's really nice. Yeah. Man, thanks for being here again.
Did you have crackers in there?
I didn't.
The oyster crackers.
The little oyster crackers. Yeah.
Tell me about those.
What salted? Kind of sandwich did you have with it?
Salted or unsalted
it was peanut,
crackers?
Peanut butter and jelly.
You shut up. You had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Now that's
and
gross.
Clam
okay.
chowder.
What kind of
it's
a monster
like going to
are
Subway
you?
And being like, what kind of bread do you want this? Do you have banana?
With tuna? I don't think
rest,
so.
Rest in peace, Mitch Hedberg.
Hell yeah.
Oh, my God.
Ian, thanks for being here tonight.
Thank you.
And Corey, as always.
Thank you, Greg, for doing this with us every week. Too.
I just enjoy my job. I enjoy my life. And, God, more great things. You guys have given me so many great topics for next week. Just, I can't wait. I can't wait. Is that it?
Bye.
Bye.
All right. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week. It's AU Radio.
You've been listening to AU Radio. Music is provided by bensound.com. Views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Adventures Underground. AU Radio is a production of Adventures Underground and GeeWiz Multimedia Productions. Copyright 2017. All rights reserved.